I smiled because I don't know if any of you have been in a larger congregation where men like to sing, and that little part where, hasten glad and free, he. Remember that? And free, that's a good song. And I will hasten to him. We're going to have a lot of scriptures tonight, and Ron asked me, as he often does on Sunday morning, Pastor, what are you preaching tonight? And I said, well, I'm not sure. Now, don't panic. Pastor's always ready to preach and always studied up and everything. But in our next study, the next chapter in 1 Samuel was David and Saul again. And it was David sparing Saul's life again. And I studied and I wrestled with that this week. And I could not come up with a different, fresh outline than that would be different than what I shared with you a couple weeks ago when Saul was in the cave and God and David spared Saul. Now, maybe the Lord will give me a fresh outline this coming week. I'm not sure. Or maybe we'll skip a chapter and we'll go to Saul consulting with a medium, because that is a challenging chapter as well. And I'm not sure how that message will preach either. But either way, it's all going to work out. But I did have something else on my heart. Some months ago in our deacons meeting, and you saw it on the church calendar, we've done it in different ways. We had what we called a ministry spotlight. Now, that was just kind of different things, and Sunday night is an opportunity to do that. A ministry spotlight, sometimes we would focus on a project that the church was working on or a particular ministry that was going on, and we would communicate with the church family those details. I'm going to start working on ministry spotlight again, because we have some challenges ahead of us as a church, and one of the challenges is we really want to grow. We really want to reach more people in our community with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in order to do that, it's important, I think, for us to do it together. You know, if we were to take a poll in this group tonight, or even on a Sunday morning, do you want Southside Baptist Church to grow? Now, I think a lot of people would say, yes, we want the church to grow. There might be a couple of grouches who, you know, I want my seat. I don't want to have to change my... But if we ask people, do you want Southside Baptist Church to grow? I think the normal response from most people would be, of course. We want Southside to grow. We want to reach more people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. However, a follow-up question would be, how do we do that? And then we would have a million different answers. We would have all kinds of strategies, ideas, thoughts about here's what we need to do to reach more people. So what I'd like to do for a ministry spotlight is to kind of, I hope, get us all kind of on the same page. Now, we're all still human beings, so we're still going to be different. I understand that. But to kind of get us on the same page as far as our understanding of outreach and what we're trying to do as a local church. Does that make sense to you? And so we'll do this periodically. We'll keep preaching through 1 Samuel and keep moving through. But every now and then, we'll just stop and we'll pause and we'll share something with you. Anyway, Ron asked me this morning, he said, Pastor, what are you preaching on? I said, I don't know. And he kind of gave me that look, you know. And I said, well, actually, I'm going to be talking tonight about commitment. Commitment. I found in my library a quote. It's in a book, I think, called The Gospel. And it's called, the quote I'd like to read to you is, The Fellowship of the Unashamed. The Fellowship of the Unashamed. I think I've shared this with you before. You know, Romans chapter 1, verse 16 says, I am not, what? Ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it is the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Listen to this powerful statement. Fellowship of the Unashamed. I am part of the Fellowship of the Unashamed. The die has been cast. I have stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. I won't look back. I won't let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past is redeemed. My present makes sense, and my future is secure. I'm finished and done with low living, sight walking, small planning, smooth knees, colorless dreams, tamed visions, worldly talking, cheap giving, and dwarfed goals. I no longer need preeminence, prosperity, position, promotion, plaudits or popularity. I don't have to be right, first, tops, recognized, praised, regarded, or rewarded. I now live by presence, lean by faith, love by patience, live by prayer, and labor by power. My face is set. My gate is fast. My goal is heaven. My road is narrow. My way is rough. My companions are few. My guide is reliable. My mission is clear. I cannot be bought, compromised, detoured, lured away, turned back, deluded, delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice, hesitate in the presence of adversity, negotiate at the table of my enemy, ponder at the pool of popularity, or meander in the maze of mediocrity. I won't give up, shut up, let go, slow up until I have preached up, prayed up, paid up, stored up, stayed up for the cause of Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen. Just making sure you're awake. I am a disciple of Jesus. I must go until he comes. Give till I drop. Preach till everyone knows. Work till he stops me. And when he comes for his own, he will have no problem recognizing me because my banner will have been clear. Wow, let's close in prayer. What a powerful declaration of being a disciple of Jesus Christ. So, I am sometimes asked this question as a pastor. Pastor, what is the difference between attending a church and being a member of a church? That sounds like a decent question, doesn't it? What's the difference between attending a church and being a member of a church? And Rick Warren, in his book about church growth, he gives a one-word answer. And here's the one-word answer. Commitment. Commitment. If you're a church hopper, if you're visiting this church and going to this concert and doing this and doing that and kind of flighting around, you know what? There's no commitment in your heart to a particular ministry where you can serve the Lord. You're not committed. Now, are you committed to Christ? Well, you're a Christian, yes, but you're not expressing that through faithfulness and commitment to a local church. Now, I'm preaching to the choir. You're here on Sunday night. I should be preaching this on Sunday morning and say, if you really love the Lord, you'll be here on Sunday night, right? You're already here, but I want to talk to you and remind you of the value of the local church, okay? Because if we're not on fire about our church, how are we going to get excited about inviting people to church, right? If we're not committed to the cause that is here, the declaration of the gospel and all the different ministries that are here, if we're not committed to the ministries of Southside Baptist, the Lord first, and the ministries of Southside Baptist Church, it's going to be difficult to grow in the days ahead. Commitment is a foundation for all that we're going to do. And so let's talk a little bit about the church. I do not have slides tonight, but next time I'll have this by review and you can write it down, okay? We're going to go pretty fast tonight, all right? What does a church look like? Biblically, what is a church? I'm going to give you several word pictures that you've heard me use before, and then we're going to look at the scripture that described the church. If we're going to be committed to the Lord and committed to the church, then we've got to appreciate the way God has designed the local church, okay? So, what is a church? Here's the first statement. The church is a fellowship. Somebody's preaching about that on Sunday mornings here in Highlands County. Fellowship. The church is a fellowship. And Acts 2:42 says, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Now, if we use that word fellowship, that word expresses a priority. Okay, there is a priority as we think about the word fellowship. Here's the priority: unity and harmony. An effective local church is a fellowship, and it expresses its fellowship through unity and harmony. Now, question: is there a difference between unity and harmony? Yeah, there is, because I used two words. If it was the same meaning, I would have just used one word. Difference. Unity does not mean uniformity. You understand that, don't you? We can be different, but we can be unified around the cause of Christ, right? We can have different personalities, different ideas and so forth, but we can be unified around the cause of Christ, and we can be unified around the ministry of our church. So unity is possible because of what Christ has done for us. Now harmony, we heard a little bit of it tonight, and we hear it every now and then in our congregational singing, but harmony is when people don't sing the same notes, right? They don't sing the same notes, but what happens when they sing? It sounds pretty. Now that's in the Greek, okay? But when the two notes come together in harmony, it's beautiful. They're different notes, but the two notes that go together, it is a beautiful thing. And that's what it can be like in the life of the church. Unity and harmony. We're not robots. We don't all do the same thing the same way all the time. God has gifted us. We'll be talking about that in the days ahead, but we're a fellowship. And the emphasis is unity and harmony. And if we're going to grow in the days ahead, we've got to be known as a unified church. We've got to be known as a harmonious church. Ephesians 4 verse 3 says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Romans 14:19 says, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, the things wherewith we may edify one another. And so you see, as a fellowship, we emphasize unity and harmony. There's another picture in the scripture that describes the ministry of a local church. It is this: the church is a family. We sing it almost every Sunday. I'm so glad I'm what? Part of the family of God. And the verses say, you'll notice we say brother and sister around here. The scripture reemphasizes that for us. 1 Peter 3 says, in verse 8 says, finally, be all of one mind, having compassion one to another. Love as brethren. Love each other as brothers. Be pitiful, be courteous. Galatians 6:10 says, as you have therefore opportunity, let us do good to all men. So that's a good verse, isn't it? Let us do good to all men. But there's another great phrase there, especially unto those who are of the household of faith. I love that phrase, household of faith. But we are committed to each other, and we have a responsibility to each other as family members, as part of the church of Southside Baptist Church. We're committed to each other. I've had people come to the church and they'll say to me, Pastor Altman, or they don't know my name, Pat, are you the Reverend? That's usually what they say. I say, yeah, I'm the Reverend. And they'll say, do you help people with their light bill? And my answer is, usually I say, no, that's the easiest answer. But sometimes I feel like having a conversation, I'll say, well, we do help people, but most of the time, they are people that are in our church family. And more often than not, you know what the next statement is? Well, I want to join your church then. You know, they want to be part of that, you know. And I'll say, well, and I've often said, you know what? Come Sunday. I'll be glad to talk to you Sunday. You come on Sunday and hear me preach and we'll talk after that. And they never come, you know. But especially those who are of the household of God. Are we responsible for everybody? Well, as much if we're aware and we can help and so forth, do good to all men, but especially to those who are of the household of faith. And when we're aware of needs in our church body, it's encouraging to know as a family we can help each other. Hebrews 2:10-12 says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially to them of the household of faith. For both he that sanctifies and those who are sanctified are all one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Now that's interesting. That is Jesus calling us his brethren. And that's just an interesting phrase. They're saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the church. I will sing praise unto thee. 1 Timothy 3, verses 4 and 5 tell us this. Talks about the pastor, and he should be qualified. We talked about this in our Sunday school class this morning. One that rules his own house well, having his own children in subjection with all gravity. And then here's this interesting phrase. If a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? What the scripture is doing there is it's comparing the church, the local church, to a family. If the leadership of the church can't take care of his own family, well then how can he take care of the family of God? And so it's a challenge to us. 1 Timothy 5 tells us this, relationships in the church. Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father. The younger men, treat them as brothers. The elder women, treat them as mothers. And the younger as sisters with all purity. Isn't that interesting? Older men as fathers. Older women as spiritual mothers. Younger men as brothers in Christ with all purity. The emphasis of a church family is loving relationships. We're connected because of our relationship with Christ. We're connected because of our commitment to this local church. We're part of the family of God. And the emphasis of families is loving relationships. You know this as well. The church is not only a fellowship, not only a family. The church is also a body. The church is also a body. And there are a lot of verses that talk to us about this, but Ephesians 5 says, the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he's the Savior of the body. Ephesians 1, we mentioned this morning, but he's put all things under his feet, and he gave to him to be head of or over all things, the church, which is his body, the fullness that fills all in all. Let me help you with some terminology. As a local church, we're a body and not a business. As a local church, we're an organism. We're alive. We're not just an organization. Those are just kind of throw them around words. But as a body, we're alive. We're not just a cold, dead organization. We're alive. We're the body of Christ. Ephesians 4, and I'm going to be preaching on this in the days ahead, but he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So we all work together. The emphasis of the body is ministry. Every part of the body is important. 1 Corinthians tells us that you know, the head and the fingers and the foot and the toes and the mouth and all of the parts of the body are important, but they work together. And the emphasis of being a body is that we are involved in ministry. The role of each part of the body is ministry to build up the church, to build up the body of Christ. The church is not just a body, not just a family, but the church is also a flock. A flock. Now, the deacons know that I love this terminology describing a church family, but John 21, Jesus talking to Peter, he said to Peter, on your confession of who I am, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. That Peter, the Peter who denied Christ, the Peter who was being restored in John chapter 21, Jesus speaks to him and he says to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me? He said to him, yea, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my sheep. He said unto him a third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said to him a third time, do you love me? And he said unto him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. The church, the local church, the church is cared for by shepherds. That's what the word pastor means, is shepherd. You kind of see the word pasture there. The church is cared for by shepherds, and the shepherds should be loving shepherds. They have the responsibility to feed the sheep, care for the sheep. The church is led by different men in the church who have godly character traits. In our church, I'm the pastor, and we have deacons that help us. Those qualities that are listed in 1 Timothy chapter 3, but all of that is expressed through love. The church of God is the flock of God. And we are responsible. Paul saying goodbye to the leaders in the book of Acts at Ephesus. And from Miletus, he went to Ephesus and he called the elders of the church, those leaders, the pastors and those who were involved in leadership, the shepherds. He called them together when they were come to him. He said to them, you know, from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner you have been with me in all seasons. And then we move down to verse 28. He says this to this group of men that are the shepherds, that are the leaders of this church. Take heed, therefore, to yourselves and to all the flock of God, over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. And this is the passage that I often share in our deacons' meeting as I think about my own ministry, as a desire to be a pastor, a shepherd leader. 1 Peter chapter 5 says, the elders, which is a synonym for the word pastor, the elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. And here's the job description. Peter remembered the words of Jesus from John 21. Here's the job description. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. So the shepherd leads the sheep, cares for the sheep, feeds the sheep. And God uses godly leaders in the context of a local church to help you spiritually. I've told this story 100 times, but in case somebody missed it, let me share it one more time. Second grade, Matthew was in second grade, and they had a career day in second grade. Now, why do you need a career day in second grade, right? And so Matthew looked at me, very proud. He looked at me and said, Dad, will you come to career day and tell the people what you do? Tell my class what you do. And I'm thinking, well, I'm not a fireman. I'm not a policeman. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a bus driver. And kids love garbage men. You know that, don't you? You know, I didn't have any you know, dramatic quality. In my mind, I'm saying I'm just a pastor. And so I thought to myself, how can I express to these kids? Well, I thought of this passage in 1 Peter. And I told the kids, I'm a pastor. I take care of sheep that are people in my church. And I said, and my job is to feed them, and I do that by preaching. My job is to love them, and I, whenever they're scared, like maybe they're going to have surgery or something, I go and I hold their hand and I pray with them and I try to help them. And I lead them, you know, in the church. A shepherd stays out in front of the people and leads the flock which way they're going. And so I thought I did a wonderful job communicating with the children what a pastor did. Wasn't that a good demonstration? You know, if I had a PowerPoint, I'd really be uptown, right? This is what a pastor does. He feeds the flock, and he loves the flock, and he leads the flock. And the teacher said, well, would you like to take any questions? I said, sure, I'll take questions. Do you have any questions? Now, these are second graders. One little boy looked at me with a frown on his face, and he raised his hand, and he said, do the sheep ever bite you? And I thought about it for half a second, and I said, sometimes. Sometimes. I just reminded them again that it wasn't real sheep that I was talking about, people, and I'm a pastor and so forth. But these word pictures are very, very important to us. Now, going back to the way we started the message tonight, we talked about with that what I read, the fellowship of the redeemed, and that's a dramatic reading about commitment to Christ, and boy, it is a challenge to all of us. But what is the difference between someone who attends Southside Baptist Church and someone who is a member of Southside Baptist Church? I would go back to what I said at the beginning. Really, the difference is commitment. Commitment. What is your level of commitment to our local church? In January, we as a church presented to the church family a covenant. Now, we've always had a covenant. We've always had a covenant, and we always, anybody that wants to join our church, we tell them we want to hear your testimony. Are you saved? We believe in saved church membership. That's a biblical qualification. And secondly, we want to hear that you were baptized by immersion. Do you guys know what immersion means? This is Sunday night. You guys know what immersion means, right? We want to hear that you were dunked, okay? You were baptized by immersion. But then I say, this is not a scriptural thing. This is a practical thing. Have you read our church covenant? And are you in agreement with it? I guess I might even rephrase it, and I might say, are you committed to it? Because that's really what we're talking about, isn't it? We're talking about commitment. I would like for you to listen as I read for you, and probably what we'll do is quarterly, we will read our church covenant, maybe around the Lord's table, maybe in a different setting, but we will read our church covenant, maybe even together, responsibly, whatever. But I want you to listen to what is now our church covenant, Southside Baptist Church, approved by our congregation January 11th, okay? This is what we are saying as a church family we are committed to. And it's based on Scripture, okay? So we've got Bible verses that could go along with everything, but it's based on Scripture, so it's not just a man-made document. It is based on Scripture. Listen carefully and ask the Lord to speak to your heart as I read the covenant tonight. We, as members of Southside Baptist Church, having each received the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, and on testimony of that faith, through believers' baptism by immersion, we do now in the presence of God solemnly and enthusiastically enter into this covenant with one another as one body in Christ. We're a local church. We promise by the aid of the Holy Spirit to forsake the paths of sin and to walk in the Spirit. That is just one little sentence, but it is packed with meaning because we put a Bible reference next to that, and I'd like to read the reference to you. Galatians chapter 5 and beginning in verse 19, the Scripture says this, I say then, walk in the Spirit, do not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So there it is in our covenant that we're going to walk in the Spirit, forsake the paths of sin, and walk in the Spirit. I say then, walk in the Spirit, that you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident. They're adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. That is a powerful passage of Scripture, talking about forsaking the paths of sin. Are any of us perfect? No. But our goal is to walk in the Spirit, and our goal is to forsake these things that are against God's Word. And very obvious, you read that list, they're very obviously against God's Word and God's way. I'm thankful that we don't stop there, because the Bible says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with all its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in a fault, overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourselves, lest you also be tempted. And listen to this verse. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Now friends, if I had my desire, I would hope that I would never have to talk to somebody in the church and say, you know, I see the works of the flesh in your life. Drunkenness, anger, revelries, dishonesty, you know. That's where, have you ever heard of the terminology church discipline? It's when one Christian approaches another Christian, and church discipline is church leaders talking to a member and saying, listen, we want to help you. That's what 6:2 says. We want to help you. We want to restore you. That's part of church life. It matters how we live when we leave this building every time a church service is over. Do you know that? It matters how you live when you walk out those doors. Now, some of you might have one of the old license plate frames that say Southside Baptist Church. I would tell you, especially, live right as you leave these doors. But how you live outside of these walls is a reflection, first of all, on Christ, and secondly, on the testimony of our church. And I want you to know, as your pastor, I dread the day that I have to have a serious conversation with somebody, but I want you to know something. I'm not afraid to do it. Our church leaders are not afraid to do it. For the sake of Christ, for the sake of His gospel, for the sake of His church, this is important. This is a commitment. That was really serious, wasn't it? The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, temperance, all these things, against such there is no law. That should be the character of our lives as we leave the building. Christ living in me. People seeing the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. That should be our testimony in the community. Well, continuing in the covenant, we will attend services regularly, serve in this church using our time, spiritual gifts, and abilities. We will promote the prosperity of this church, of this church's ministry through our worship together, encouragement and discipleship of believers, relief and of the physical needs of our members. We talked about that just a minute ago. Outreach of the gospel to our community and to the world. Faithfully observing the ordinances of baptism and communion as given by our Lord. Faithfully teaching the doctrines of God's Word and promoting the unity and purity of this church. Cheerfully and regularly contributing financially to these ministries. Now, we have in our bulletin each week, we focus on a homebound member. Those are folks that are physically not able to be at our church. We have a decent-sized church. I understand that. But I know names in my head. You know, I know who's been here. I know who our members are. I know who our people are. Do you know that I've been on visitation and knocked on the door and said, do you attend church anywhere? Oh, yeah, I go to church. Where do you go? Oh, Southside Baptist Church. What's your name? And they tell me their name. And I've been here long enough that, you know, they're lying to me. I like what this says. We will attend the services of Southside Baptist Church. You know, if you're going to be committed to the church, it's a good thing to be here. Amen? If you're going to be committed to a church, it's a good thing to be here. And I'm preaching to those that are here. I need to be yelling at those that are not here. We also covenant together to avoid all appearance of evil and walk together in love. That goes back to that Galatian passage. Give and receive correction, love, praying for one another. Going again to chapter 6, verse 2, bearing one another's burdens and restoring one another in love. Be slow to take offense, always ready for reconciliation. That's really necessary for unity and harmony, isn't it? Isn't it? Maintain family and private devotions. We talked about that this morning. Communion, right? Communion with Christ. Morning, noon, and night. Thinking about the Lord and investing in your walk with the Lord privately, so that when we get together, we're strong corporately. Seek the salvation of our families and acquaintances. We're committed to that. We're committed to witnessing to people, inviting people to church, and reaching out from beyond our walls right here in our community. We further promise that when we move from this community, we will, as soon as possible, unite with another church where we can carry out the spirit of this covenant and the principles of God's Word. I want to say to you, and I know my perception is skewed tonight, but the local church is one of the most important tools that God uses in the life of a believer to help them be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. I know there are a lot of Lone Ranger Christians, and I know you don't have to, theologically, you don't have to go to church to be saved. I understand that. But God has ordained the church. You're here tonight on a Sunday night at Southside Baptist Church. I think you have some level of commitment to Jesus Christ, some level of commitment to our church. And my prayer is that God will continue to use our church, Southside Baptist Church, in your life so that you can grow in your walk with Him and be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. What's the difference between just going to church and being a member of a church? It's commitment. And that's important. Father, thank you for your word. And thank you for our church family. And thank you for many that are committed to serving you through our church. And thank you for what you've been doing in recent days. And we pray for the days ahead. I pray that our church will be stronger as we are committed to you, as we are committed to the gospel, and as we are committed to the ministry of our church. I pray that you would be pleased to bless us with continued growth. I pray that you would be pleased by sending some new believers our way, that we would have the enthusiasm of seeing young people growing in their walk with you. I pray that you would be pleased to send us people that maybe are a little more seasoned in their walk with you and can get plugged in a little more quickly into our ministry here to help us in different areas. Father, you're the Lord of the church, and we commit all of these things to you. But Lord, tonight we are thankful for Southside Baptist Church. We are thankful to be part of the family of God as expressed right here at 379 South Commerce Avenue. Help us to be good testimonies for you in the days ahead. We love you, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.